Our reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Paul's vision of the man of Macedonia. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from teaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
We're going to pray before we head into the Word. We're actually going to be extending that passage just a little bit too later on, so if you have that still open at Acts chapter 16, then I'll ask you to leave it open. And also, you're going to see a map. It's going to be sitting up there. I'm going to ask Peg to put it up in just a second, but it's going to be sitting up there the whole time. I'm going to refer to it just a couple of times, this whole journey of that Paul went on. I found the map was incredibly helpful. I didn't expect it, but it's incredibly helpful. So we're going to be using that this morning. But first off, we're going to pray as we look into his word. Father God, I thank you for another amazing day that we get to gather together, that we have such a safe place and such a welcoming place to come and be with your Spirit and really be settled in who you are, and at the same time challenged by your word and knowing that we still need to keep seeking you and keep learning about you and keep living in your presence. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit guides us, that as a Trinitarian God, you look after us in every aspect we could possibly imagine. I thank you for your great love and your great patience with us, Lord. Amen. I asked Peg to chuck that map up just quickly. I just want you to be able to see it. This is one of Paul's missionary journeys. This is his second one, and from memory, I think we have three that have been recorded. The first thing you need to know, this guy did a lot of traveling. If there were frequent fly miles back then, he'd be right up at the top of the list. Unfortunately, he didn't have that. He kind of had to walk or find a donkey or a horse or jump on someone's back. That was kind of the only options he had. But I want you to remember that. This was mostly a walking journey, obviously, until he got to the oceans, and then he jumped on some sort of boat or raft. I don't know what they had back then. But I want you to just realize that as we go and talk about the map. This was a lot of walking. I have had a very interesting time with this passage. By interesting, I mean painful. This passage has really done a number on me. Even as I was at the leaders retreat and wanting to be really present during the leaders retreat, I really wasn't. I wanted to be, especially as we played carpet bowls. I really wanted to be present in that moment. I tried my best, but honestly, this passage has not gotten out of my head since the first time I read it, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, except that it was really frustrating for me. I had a lot of frustration with this passage. And as I kept reading the passage, I learnt a lot about who I was when I first became a Christian and who I am now and where I hope to be. This passage talks, obviously, about Paul's journey, and he was with a few other people, a couple of disciples and a couple other Christians. And it mentions a lot about the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Holy Spirit stopped them going into Asia and then also into Bithynia. You can see Bithynia is just up the top there in the purple. Yep. Paul got stopped from going into those places. And so this passage talks a lot about the Holy Spirit and his guiding. And the problem I had with this is that when I first became a Christian, I really didn't understand the Holy Spirit. I really didn't get it. Before I became a Christian, I wasn't a spiritual type of person or anything like that. Everything was very black and white. There was no extra things happening in the world. And so once I was saved and had Christ come into my life, I really struggled with this whole idea of that there's a Holy Spirit. I could kind of grasp the idea of God the Father. He's a father. I have a father. I can understand that. They're not the same. My dad is nowhere near God the Father. And I, as a father, am nowhere near God the Father. But I could grasp the idea. I could grasp the sense. I could learn something about him. I found that easier to relate to. And then as I looked at God the Son, and obviously we learn a lot about the life Jesus had on earth, and we try and follow that example as much as we can. That was a much easier thing to grasp and to hold on to. But I looked at this whole idea of there being a spirit, and it really, really confused me. And so what I did, and this is what I used to do with things that confused me, I gave it a relegated area. I said, this is your little box, and that's how I understand you. And so basically I said, well, I can see that there's spiritual movement during times of worship. So he's in that spot. That's when he pops up. And then also there's people that have these giftings. I didn't really understand what they meant at that early time of my Christian life. And there's people that have giftings. I can see the Spirit moving within these people's giftings. So he's also in the gifts spot. It has something to do with gifting. I still don't understand it, but there's something there that he has to do with. And so whenever worship time came up, I was like, oh, this is a Holy Spirit moment. Get ready for it. Nothing much really happened. And then when there was a moment I was reading about giftings or someone was using their gifting, I was like, oh, this is that part where the Holy Spirit, that guy comes in and plays a role here. But I still didn't understand it. Thankfully now I have done a lot more reading and really learnt what it means to grasp the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But that's where I used to sit the Holy Spirit, even to the point where I didn't even necessarily recognize him as a part of God. I often actually refer to it as it. It does this. It does that. It's present here and things like that. There was never really a relationship with that part of our Trinitarian God for me. Realized I wasn't treating him in the same sense that I would God the Father or God the Son. So I really learned that as I was looking at this passage, my journey from how I used to treat it to how I know it as being God the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity. Paul, as I read this passage, Paul has a great relationship with the entire God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Incredible relationship. We read that he had been stopped twice by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that fantastic? No? Is it? I don't know. Is it? I actually get really excited about this. I know it might sound a little bit silly. Some of you are kind of guessing whether you should have said yes or no just then, and that's okay. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. I like getting people uncomfortable. But sometimes being stopped by God is the best thing that can happen in your life at that time. It can be the best thing that can happen for you. I know that sounds really strange. Do you know the worst thing in a relationship, in any kind of relationship, whether it's a friendship, marriage, whatever, uncle, auntie, father, mother, son, daughter, whatever kind of relationship, the worst thing that can happen, especially if you're spending time with somebody, is dead silence. Dead silence is not nice. Dead silence is when I know I'm in trouble. She's laughing. It's all good. Dead silences, I know. And I know there's other husbands out there going, oh, yeah. I hear. Dead silences is when I know that things aren't quite as they should be. Now, in myself, I quite enjoy silence at times. Not that I don't enjoy talking to my wife. That's not what I'm saying. But I like having those quiet moments when I can reflect on things. But during that moment, Penny then starts to think that something must be wrong because everything's quiet. And I'll be kind of staring at nothing, thinking about something deep like sport. And she'll go, are you okay? Is everything all right? Has something happened? What's going on? Do we need to talk about something? Can you open up to me right now? And I love all those questions because it means that she loves me and she wants to be in communication with me, and I love that. But I realise that for her in that moment, she starts to think something's wrong. I believe that if there's dead silence between us and our God, then maybe something isn't quite right. And I'm not saying that every minute, every single day that God and you will be communicating. I know that that's not the way it normally is with a lot of you. Some of you have all sorts of different experiences, but I really struggle. If I haven't heard, especially as I'm preparing for a sermon, if I haven't heard something from God, I'm really nervous and really anxious, really worried about what might be going on and where my relationship is with Him. And there was a time in my life where I did not have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. I did not really hear from Him. Not that He wasn't trying to communicate with me, but I didn't understand how to hear from Him, how to listen to that guidance, to listen to His communication with me. Traveling as far as Paul did, I would have wanted to hear something from God. You can see in just that map, that's a lot of traveling. And again, as I said, a lot of that is walking, and some of it's obviously by ocean. But even that trip just around Asia, if you can see where Asia is, it's pretty much smack bang in the middle there. I did a rough measurement. It's over 800 kilometres, that journey. If that's just one section of his journey, and this is only just one of his mission trips, if he hadn't heard anything from God, I think he would have been really worried. And I really wonder how much he would have been able to continue on with that journey. How much would he actually been able to do for God without actually hearing from Him? Even though what he heard wasn't necessarily what he probably wanted to hear, he probably didn't want to hear no. He wanted to hear yes, 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 go, 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 preach and make churches, and that's exactly why he set out on these journeys. But I'm glad he heard exactly what he needed to hear from the Holy Spirit. I have done some evangelistic work, trying to start churches and all this sort of stuff without the Holy Spirit. And it's horrible. It's really horrible. I was living in Kurri with my best mate Nick, Tim's son. All funny how that worked out. But we were living in Kurri for a few years, and I think we were about 23 or so when we decided it would be a great idea to go door knocking around Kurri. Now, we were young and silly and naive, and so we thought that was a great thing to do. But in truth, we had gone and done it at a couple other places, helped some other churches and some friends do that sort of evangelistic work. And so we thought, hey, Kurri has a lot of houses. Let's go do it there. So we got some friends to come and help us and some wise people that knew what they were actually doing. And we went around Kurri and told people about Jesus. The only problem is, I know for myself, I can't speak for Nick, but I know for myself, I still had that mentality, and this is something my parents had raised me with, that if you just work really, really hard, it'll all happen. And so I thought, well, if we just get as many houses as we possibly can and make everyone listen to us and just everyone that walks past just be like, hey, do you want to hear about Jesus? Hey, do you want to hear my story of how I became a Christian? Hey, just everyone. I must have been so annoying. I really must have been so annoying. No wonder no one talked to me. But as we went around Kurri and we're doing all these things, I got not just physically, but spiritually exhausted, to the point where I got to myself of going, this doesn't even work. Talking about Jesus doesn't even work. It works in church, but outside of that, it doesn't work. I almost completely gave up on talking to people about Jesus. That was because I didn't know that I had to be involved with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that I needed his guidance as I went and did that. I didn't know that there was particular people he was trying to direct me towards. I didn't know that I was meant to be getting involved with God as I went out and tried to preach to people and tell them about Jesus. I didn't know that that was a part of the whole idea. Sometimes when we're listening to what we're meant to be doing in life and we're trying to figure out what's the next step and all this, we often forget to actually ask God. We often forget to actually find out where it is we're meant to be going, who it is we're meant to be talking to, that maybe there's something we're not meant to do, rather than jumping on to everything. Maybe there's something we're meant to be waiting for. Maybe there's something that God has in place that we need to be patient with. There might be something else happening. And I've experienced this a few times since that moment in Karikari, and I could tell you 1,000 stories, but there's one I'd like to talk about. And that is when I actually started here. Started here in March, last year now, almost been a whole year. And as I started here, there was a lot of opportunity to do a lot of different things. And I know many of you actually asked if I wanted to be involved in this or that or the other. And for some reason, as you were asking me those things, and I hope I didn't sound too rude or anything like that back then, I know I was new and fresh and you probably didn't quite understand who I was or anything like that, but as you were asking, oh Mitch, would you love to be involved in this, or there's an opportunity here, I really felt like there was a lot of things that I wasn't meant to be a part of. Not that I didn't want to, I still have that mentality that I'd love to be involved in every single little thing that happens. I'm that kind of person that I get a little bored when I'm not doing anything. Penny will tell you that I actually struggle to lay in bed for more than 5 minutes because I get bored. I'm that kind of person, I'd like to just be busy in doing things. But as you were asking me all these things, I had this great sense that there was something more at play, that there was something else coming up, that I needed to be free when that time came. And there's been a few things that have popped up. The most recent thing has been the opportunity to teach scripture in the high school. And that's going to be an amazing experience once school starts and once everything's organised. There's been a few little bumps along the road. But I believe that was a moment that I had with the Holy Spirit where for some reason he was telling me, that's a great opportunity, but it's not where you're meant to be. And I believe for Paul, as he was making this journey, heading his way into Asia, that the Holy Spirit was saying, hey, look, Asia's a great opportunity. It all looks good. I know you're standing right at the border. You can see exactly what you want to do. You just want to walk in there. You want to get started. And I know you that you're a really eager man to go and preach the word of God. But this isn't the time. Now's not the time. I'm saying no. I want you to go around Asia. And at this stage, he doesn't know exactly where he's meant to be heading. So once he gets close to Bithynia there, he automatically thinks, well, this is the next spot. This is where God wants me to be. So he tries to go into Bithynia and get, again, the Holy Spirit says, oh no. Again, this is a great opportunity. A great time that you could go and preach to people and start churches and do all those things. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not where I want you. It's not where I want you. So they don't go there. They keep going around Asia, not knowing where they're meant to be headed, not knowing exactly what's going on. And if you can imagine, we kind of see Paul as a leader in this scenario, but he has a couple of disciples with him and a couple other Christians. What is he telling those guys? What are they believing they're hearing from the Holy Spirit? Are they believing that they're hearing, no, we are meant to go into Asia? Are they believing that they're hearing, no, we are meant to go into Bithynia? I don't know exactly what was going on, and I imagine Paul would have really struggled. And sometimes we really struggle to listen to the Holy Spirit when he's trying to direct us somewhere else. Sometimes we have already made up in our mind that that's what God wants me to do. That's the thing that God wants me to do. Sometimes we get it all wrong. And we are human after all. But how do we deal with that whole idea that God could say no? And I'm not sure exactly what the answer is. I'd love to be able to tell you what the answer is. But one thing I do know is that since learning more and more about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a part of God, an equal part of God, he holds the same characteristics as the Trinitarian God. We can read all about his character in the Bible, throughout the Bible. We can look at the life that Paul led and look at how he was guided by the Holy Spirit. We can look at a lot of people that were guided by the Holy Spirit. And we can get that guidance from the Word of God. We can get that understanding of how the Holy Spirit works from the Word of God. I want to make sure that this morning you are really asking yourself where you have the Holy Spirit situated. Do you do a similar thing to what I used to do where you kind of go, well, he pops up in these areas? Or does he live throughout the Trinitarian God? Does he live in your life? Do you seek him for guidance? Do you seek him for where you're meant to be and what time you're meant to be there? You see, as Paul and the others were stopped from going into Bithynia, they didn't get any more, well, not that we have recorded at least, they didn't get any more direction until they get all the way to the end of Asia. You might see a little, I know it might be difficult for some of you to see, but there's a little spot called Troas, and it mentions it here in the Bible. It says that it wasn't until they get to Troas that they then hear from God. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Paul had travelled probably a good 400 so kilometres, maybe a little bit more, not knowing exactly where he was heading. I believe, though, he had a sense that even without that clear, direct idea, he had a sense that he was just meant to travel this way. Sometimes we need to listen to those moments and just trust that his character is not leading us the wrong way. I don't know about you, but I cannot think about a reason why God would lead us the wrong way. We don't have a God like that. We have a God that completely cares for us. Even in moments that we don't realize it, he is completely caring for us. The funny thing is, as he gets to Troas and they see this vision, you can tell they've been waiting for it. Because after he gets this vision, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once. You see, Luke actually writes this passage and he says we, so Luke is with him at this moment. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they had realized that they weren't meant to preach the gospel in Asia, they weren't meant to preach the gospel in Bithynia, that was somewhat obvious, but they hadn't a clue where they were actually meant to go to. Once they got the vision, they were ready to pounce on it. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to pounce? I know some of you are going, I haven't pounced in years. I'm not sure I'm capable of doing that anymore. But are you ready to pounce? I realise that as Penny and I have moved to Morisset and I try and get a great sense of the people in Morisset and what's been happening and where they're at in terms of their spiritual awareness. Are they aware that there's more than what happens just in their day-to-day life? And what sort of things do they come up with to answer those questions? But there's an opportunity to pounce. Not the way that I did in Curry, where you just try and get every single person that possibly crosses your path and you become incredibly annoying. But instead, that you're listening to the Holy Spirit, seeking those people that you're meant to be sharing your story with or sharing something of God with. We had a great time over the leadership retreat talking about sharing our story and sharing God with people and the way it's impacted people's lives. And there's all different ways that that can happen. For Paul, his way was to go to as many countries as possible and find the person that he needs to talk to and start churches. For us, it might look somewhat different. But I want to ask you, are you ready to actually do that when the moment presents itself? Because there's something that happens in Macedonia that we're going to read about in a second that I find absolutely amazing and teaches Paul something and teaches us something at the same time. So they're in Troas, they hear the word, they're going to Macedonia, and it's a man in the vision saying, come and help us. But the interesting thing is, and I'm going to read this passage in just a second, the interesting thing is, the first person that we have recorded that he talks to is not a man. And so I don't know exactly what that vision means, but I want to read a bit more of this passage. So from verse 11, carrying on from where we left off. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Realize that they stayed there for several days. There's no recording of seeing that man from the vision or anything like that yet. I really start to wonder what they're thinking. Again, have they been sort of led astray. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of these listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. I don't know if you can see the map, but if you can see the map, in Asia, there is a city, Thyatira. If you can see the word Asia, it's basically directly below that. Lydia is from Asia. Paul wasn't allowed to go into Asia. Paul wasn't allowed to preach in Asia. The first person that we have recorded that he talks to in Macedonia is from Asia. I don't know about you, but I find that pretty exciting. And I wonder if Paul was kind of chuckling to himself at that moment, going, "Thanks, God. I just walked like 1,000 kilometres all the way around Asia. And then the first person I thanks for that. The first person I witnessed to in Macedonia is actually from Asia. Lives in Macedonia, but from Asia." She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household, her whole household, were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This whole journey that Paul had gone on, getting a little frustrated with God as he kept hearing no and no and not knowing exactly what's meant to be going on, then seeing this vision, getting to Macedonia, staying there for several days and still not getting anything, and then finally this moment. This moment that he was ready, been ready for the whole time, even though he'd been frustrated and whatever else, but he was ready to jump on this moment. And this woman Lydia, who the Holy Spirit had been working on, was ready to receive the word of God, ready to be saved from her sin and her whole household. I don't know about you, but I believe that's a great moment. That's a great moment. And I'd love to think that there's a Lydia in Morisset. Not necessarily in this building, maybe in this building, but around Morisset there would be a Lydia. There would be someone who's ready, heart open, household ready to hear about God, ready to open her doors. And actually learnt that her household became a church. They started a church in her house. And I imagine there would have been, she would have known, quite a few people from Asia. They might have been meeting at her house. They probably went back to Asia every now and again to see family or friends, or at least had some kind of communication with them. So as much as Paul was asking to be teaching and preaching and starting churches through Asia, it was actually meant to happen, I believe, through Lydia. The Holy Spirit is something that we need to give absolute trust to. Put it in the full character of God. Totally relying on him. Knowing God's complete character, knowing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you're worried about where you're headed next and what you're meant to be doing and all these sorts of things, I really want to challenge you to ask yourself, how do you identify with the Holy Spirit? Where do you sit with him? Or is he still an it? Is he still an it in your life? Do you have him sort of relegated to a certain area and that's where you keep him? I know that that can be quite comfortable for people, and it was comfortable for me for a time. But I tell you, you'll be missing out on a lot if that's where you leave him. I really want to plead with you to not leave him there. Paul was a great man, we know this, and I often look at his life and think, gee, I'll never match up to him. The reason we know about him is obviously because God wanted us to. The reason he was able to achieve such great things is not because of the man that he was, but because of the relationship he had with God. And in these moments, he was prepared, fully prepared to let God work through him, to talk to people like Lydia, to follow the direction of hearing it, no, you can't go here. He was ready to hear those things, to be a part of what God's plan was, even at times when he didn't understand it. even at times where he walked for hundreds of kilometres, not entirely sure what was happening next. But just knowing that God's character is one that will never lead us astray, is one that we can fully rely on, give our whole heart to, knowing that he is going to treat us as his own child, with absolute love and care, and looking after us the entire way. I want to challenge you to look at how you identify the Holy Spirit and where he sits within the Trinity. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for such a challenge. I thank you that there's things that we don't always understand about you. And that's great. I would hate to think that there's a day that I fully understand you, because you are way too powerful for that. Father, I know it's a challenge for a lot of people, including myself, to learn more about you, to get to know you, to fully trust you, to put our life in your hands. But Father, I have learned, and I hope everyone has learned this morning, that without you, we can be really lost. We can go with what our mind says or what our heart says, but that's not necessarily what you are saying. I pray that we can have peace as we talk to you. I pray that we can have peace as we follow you. Pray that we are capable of being ready to follow your guidance, even if it is stopping us from doing something. Even if we are unsure of exactly what you're saying. But I pray that we can put ourselves in that place, ready to pounce when the moment comes. Pray that this is a challenge that we'll set for ourselves and we'll continue to look at as this year continues. Because Father, I want people to be able to meet people here and in the street and be able to come into this building knowing that you live here, Lord. That your Spirit is alive and active, and they can truly understand or know who you are and that you live in this place, Lord. Amen.